It is that time when we come to the close of our gospel meeting this week, and I want to thank the brethren and the elders here again for the opportunity to get to know you better. And I appreciate the opportunity to study God's Word with you. I always enjoy it and look at it as a privilege to open up God's Word and learn the things therein. And I appreciate your encouragement in listening each evening, being in attendance, and we can sing together, and the singing has been encouraging, and to pray together and to study from God's Word. I appreciate Jim's prayer on my behalf and my family, and I will be traveling home this evening, so please keep me in mind, as I will keep the good brethren here in mind as well. It's good to be with the Riches earlier this evening. The hospitality this week has been tremendous, and I appreciate being with each and every one of you. If you'll turn in your Bibles this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in just a moment, we want to consider that text of Scripture this evening as we discuss from God's Word the subject of holding on to the eternal. How many of us here this evening, especially among the older brethren, how many are you driving the car that you drove this evening was your very first car that you ever owned? Anybody driving? Chrissy has her hand up. We're not driving the first car that we owned, are we? We're not driving that tonight. How many of us are the home that we're staying in was the home where we were born? Anybody here staying in the home where one? Okay, we've got one. That's not really common among us, is it? We're driving the first car that we ever owned? No. What happened to it? It's not around anymore, is it? It's gone. And sometimes the old home place is gone, isn't it? It may still be standing, but a lot of times it's gone. And we need to understand that a lot of things that we have in life are just simply transient. They're temporary. They're not long-lasting. And we even experience that in our own lives. A lot of things that we had years ago, we don't have them anymore. And our health comes and goes, doesn't it? And the physical things that we have come and go. And what I want to encourage us on this evening, and I wanted to close with this week, with this lesson, to encourage you, good brethren, to keep on keeping on, to hold on to the eternal. And that will encourage us to remain faithful to the Lord. And as we've just sung, when the Lord comes, when we see Jesus, and that's what we want, because we've held on to those things that are lasting. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the context here is the Apostle Paul has been discussing the physical persecutions and problems that he and the other apostles have gone through. And he describes some of the bad situations that they've been in, especially beginning in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 7 and following. He gets down there and he talks about pursued and smitten down and always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus. And so the apostles had to go through great persecution. And when we come down to verse 16, he's going to describe the situation that we all experience, and that is that our outward bodies are decaying. We're getting older. And even though the apostles were persecuted on the outside, the Apostle Paul says that there are things that we look for that do not have anything to do with this life. We focus on those things that are lasting. So I'd like to read together in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16, the Apostle Paul writes, "Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of our tabernacle," and he's talking about the physical body, "be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For verily in this we groan, longing to be clothed upon with our habitation, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For indeed we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed upon, that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought us for this very thing is God, who gave us the earnest of the Spirit. Being therefore always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home, in the body we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and are willing rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Wherefore also we make it our aim, whether at home or absent, to be well-pleasing unto Him. For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And so the Apostle Paul recognizes back in verse 16 that our outward man is decaying. He recognized that he's getting older and he was persecuted. And you stop and think about some of the things that he would have carried through his life, having been stoned, for example, in Acts chapter 14, having been stoned and being beaten with those rocks. You're going to carry those scars and maybe wounds, and maybe your body would hurt for a while. Maybe the rest of your life you might not recover from some of those things. And beaten with stripes. He talks about the different things that he had to undergo in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So his outward man is decaying, but then he mentions eternal, verse 17. Eternal, you see. And he mentions it later in chapter 5, the word eternal, eternal in the heavens. Even though in his earthly life there were things that were decaying, in his earthly life there were things that were wearing out, he kept his eyes on the eternal. And so the statement here in chapter 5 and verse 1, we're going to be given a new heavenly body. An eternal heavenly body. And that was one thing that he focused on. Another thing that he focused on in chapter 5 and verse 10 is standing before the judgment seat of Christ. You see, there's going to be a judgment day one day. And so, despite all of the physical ailments and problems that the Apostle Paul had, I think about Galatians chapter 4, where he talks about how that he was with the Galatian brethren in weakness. He had a thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 11 and 12 there. So he had some physical problems. And he's described as Paul the aged in the book of Philemon. He recognized that things of this life are temporal, the earthly body, the physical body. But there are some things that I need to look at, Paul said, that are eternal. And so look at verse 18. We look at those things which are eternal. We look not at the things which are seen, that is the physical things of this life, the physical things that wear out, that break, that burn up, that rust. We have things around the house that have already started to rust. My parents said that one time they came home from services and their house had burnt down. Can you imagine that? Just think about that going home this evening. And you pull up in the driveway and it's gone. Think about that. And how disheartening that could be. And so things are gone of this life. But he says, we do not look for the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. He's not saying that he had some special power to see invisible things. He's talking about with the eye of faith. With the eye of faith, we keep looking for those things that one day will be heavenly. For the things which are seen are temporal. He understood that the earthly problems and the decaying, verse 16, and the earthly persecutions, that's just temporal. And this body that I'm in and wearing out, it's just temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's what Paul kept his eyes on. And so this evening, we want to do that very thing. We want to look at those things that are eternal in nature, that are lasting in nature. And in doing that, we hope to encourage us to keep on keeping on here at Twin Oaks. I think about the things of this life. Turn back with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Solomon says that there's just things of this life that come and go, and we cannot count on some of the things of this life. We understand that there's a time and a season for everything. Solomon says there, and we need to be reminded of that very thing. We've been studying in the book of Ecclesiastes back home, and it's good to be reminded where Solomon recognized that life is not about material things, life under the sun. It's about fearing God and keeping His commandments. But when you look at life under the sun, he describes it in chapter 3 as just a cycle that goes round and round. And about time you get a hold of something that it's gone, you see. For everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. And we're excited about birth, but then there's going to come a time when the person's gone. There's a time to die. It doesn't last. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. And I think about that. We buy things, we hold on to things, and then we have to let them go. They're gone. We can't keep them forever. And so one thing that I would consider with regard to the temporal nature of things is this cycle of life that we go through. And things simply do not last forever. Verse 8, there's a time for peace and then there's a time for war. And so forth on down in the list. Things come and go. And time does not wait for anyone. And there's constant change. And about the time we buy something or want to hold on to something materially, it's gone. So we need to consider that. I think about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 about laying up treasures upon the earth. And he talks about where moth and rust doth consume, you know. And I used to try to hold on to some of my keepsakes that I had in high school until I opened up the box and found that they're all moldy and rotten, and moths will get in there and something will eat it up and it's got holes in it. Now, I was really proud of a first place, a blue ribbon prize that I had in the fifth grade for a science project. And I held on to that thing for the longest time. It's no longer blue. I finally threw it away after it had gotten purple, went from blue to purple, faded out, had a bunch of holes in it. We try to have keepsakes and things like that, but in time those things rust and rot and we have to get rid of them. So Jesus said, don't lay up treasures on the earth where moth and rust doth consume and thieves break in and steal. I was off on a gospel meeting and I hope that it doesn't happen. I haven't heard anything this week. We got one more night. But I was off on a gospel meeting one time and Sherry called me on a Thursday and she said, we've gotten robbed. She had come home from work and she said she walked into the bedroom and walked in there and did a few things and she turned around to walk out and she saw my coin jar on the floor. And she thought, well, that's kind of odd. And she starts looking around and then she begins to see some things out of place. And then looked over at the side door there, and it had been kicked in. Someone had come in earlier in the day and took some things. Where moth and rust doth consume, or where thieves break in and steal. And so there were things we had that were gone. Got some of them back. Some of it I didn't get back. I learned my lesson that you don't keep cash on top of your dresser. I thought, you know, we live out in the country, good, honest folks, right? Just put a little bit of cash up there on top of the dresser, you know, if you need some. That is all gone. That's fine. Maybe the other person needed it more than I did, but that's going to happen. We lose things. Things get old. Things wear out. And by the time we put our trust in that or put our confidence in that, then we're let down. I think about where James says in James chapter 3 and verse 14 that life is like a vapor. And even our own lives are coming to an end. If it is the Lord's will that He does not come and we live a full life, then we're gone. And so we've got to understand that we live in an ever-changing, temporary world. And then itself, this world will be gone. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. I told you earlier in the week that I'm just now hearing the beginnings of a few folks say, including a few brethren, that we're going to come back and live on a restored earth. But Peter doesn't say that. Peter says that even our earth is going to be gone, and we need to be reminded of that. So the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Do we have any trouble understanding the words pass away, dissolve, burn up? Do we have any trouble understanding that? And yet we find some today say, no, the earth is going to stay, and we're just going to come back and re-inhabit it. No, it's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. And so we need to be ready for when that day comes. And so we live in a world where things are passing. And the Apostle Paul realized that. And so what he said is, I keep my eyes focused on the eternal. This evening, brethren, I want us to consider that very thing. What do you possess that isn't going to perish? When we think about the physical things of life, everything that we own, clothes wear out. Clothes wear out. And our cars wear out. And homes and other kinds of things in time. What do you have that cannot be taken away? Things are taken away with fires. Things are taken away with floods and other kinds of natural disasters. What can we latch on to that no one can take away from us ever? That's what we want to talk about this evening. And that's what we need to focus on. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. You see, what the devil does is, the devil says, latch on to the things of this life. And he gets us to focus on the material things and the physical things. He gets us to focus on the things that are temporal in nature. God wants us to focus on the things that are eternal in nature. And so a well-known passage, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the vainglory of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And look at the very next verse. The problem with immorality in these things is not only verse 16, it's not of the Father. That's one problem. It doesn't come from God. It's not divine. Another problem is the world passeth away. It's temporal in nature. It's not meant to be lasting. And so the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's what's important. Doing God's word and God's will. So the devil gets us to focus on the gratifications of the flesh and money and material things. And we have to have physical things and work and food, shelter, and clothing. We have to have those things to make it through life. But the devil says, focus on those things. Whereas John is saying, that's not where our priority is at. Our priority is on doing the will of God. That's what lasts forever. So this evening, we want to consider that very thing. And first of all, this evening, what are some things then that are eternal in nature? What are some things that we can hold on to? You can't hold on to things around the house. Someone could just break in and steal it and it'd be gone. You can't hold on to money. I'm going to hold on to my car. It ends up getting in a wreck. And we might buy something new and turn around and it's already gotten messed up. We can't hold on to those things. What can we hold on to? Well, number one, we can hold on to God who is unchanging. And we can hold on to Jesus Christ who is unchanging. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. We need to hold on to the eternal. You hold on to God and Jesus Christ and they will not disappoint. They do not change. They will not go away. And we can put our trust and confidence in them. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, I, Jehovah, change not. Now, this is a well-known passage, but I want you to back up to verse 5. It's in the context of a wicked world. We're going to see the same thing when we get over to Hebrews 13. In contrast to a wicked world, verse 5, sorcerers, adulterers, false swearers against those that oppose the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and turn aside the sojourner, and fear not me, saith Jehovah. I, Jehovah, change not. It's in the context of wicked Israel, and this is even God's people who have come back from the Babylonian captivity. Some of them have slumped back into sin. Malachi is saying, you're in a wicked world. You're among people who are doing wrong, but God does not change. God is always right and good. And he doesn't change, and so he's going to still judge these people. He's going to hold them to his standard, and we live in a changing world, in a wicked world. But God does not change, and so whatever wickedness we see on the TV, we've just seen the young 21-year-old who did the shooting in Charleston, South Carolina. God's going to hold him accountable. God doesn't change. And so we live in a wicked world, but God does not change. And we need to hold on to Him and His values and what He wants for us. In James chapter 1, God does not change. There is no shadow that is cast by turning. You know, the earth is revolving on an axis. And then the earth itself is moving in an orbit around the sun. And that's why the shadow, here's the tree out in the backyard, and the sun's off in the west, and there's that big old tree out there, and you'll see that shadow that moving around as we move and rotate throughout the day. Shadow that is cast by turning. Okay? It's an illustration of something that's moving, something that's changing, and there is none with God, James says. Turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 13 with regard to Jesus Christ. And notice, again, it's in the context of sin and error and wrongdoing. In the midst of all that, Jesus does not change. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You may wonder, well, why just sort of out of the blue did the Hebrew writer say that? Look at the very next verse. Be not carried away by divers and strange teachings. The verse right before it, Jesus doesn't change. And then the very next verse, don't be carried away by all of these man-made teachings that do change. Jesus stays the same. And His Word is forever. And so the first thing that we need to hold on to is God and Jesus Christ. In the midst of a wicked and sinful society and false teaching and error and those things that were mentioned back in Malachi 3 and many other kinds of things, and we live in a society that has all that in it, we need to stay focused on God and Christ, who do not change. Their principles do not change. Their righteousness does not change. Their justice does not change. And we need to hold on to that. Number two, we need to hold on to the kingdom that they have established. When Daniel prophesied of the coming kingdom in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, it was a kingdom that would be set up by God, and it's an unshakable kingdom. It is a kingdom that would not go away. And the prophecy there in Daniel chapter 2 is in the midst of earthly kingdoms that do go away. And you remember the vision there in that prophecy of the image was made of different metals and so forth to illustrate, starting at the top of the image and moving down, the Babylonian kingdom and the Medo-Persian kingdom and the Greek kingdom, and then finally the toes, the Roman kingdom. All of these kingdoms come and go, and then it's in the midst of this, or in the days of this last kingdom, Rome, verse 44, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, nor shall the sovereignty thereof be left to another. In the midst of kingdoms that come and go, there's going to be a kingdom that never goes away after it's established. And of course, that's the New Testament church. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, with regard to the church, He said, upon this rock, Peter's statement about Christ the Lord, upon this rock, this confession, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Nothing's going to be able to prevail or assault it. And the gates of Hades are symbolic of death. Jesus' death would not keep the church from being established. That was the very thing that established the church. And then when His followers, when Christians would die, when early Christians would die, James is beheaded in Acts 12:1. Stephen is stoned in Acts 7. The death of Christians is not going to keep the church from being established or even growing. It just grew more, didn't it? When early Christians were persecuted and put to death, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, did the church shrink? No, it grew more. The text says that many were spread abroad at the stoning of Stephen, and so the church grew. So the gates of Hades would not prevail against the church. Turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 12. When we're a member of the Lord's kingdom, when we're translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of His Son in baptism, Colossians 1:13, we're in the kingdom, we're a member of the Lord's body, a member of the Lord's church. When we are in that, we are holding on to something, we are a part of something that will never, ever go away. There will always be the Lord's body. There will always be a remnant. There will always be those who serve the Lord. It's a kingdom that will never, ever go away. And so look at it in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 22. The Hebrew writer is trying to contrast what the Old Testament Israel had when they came to Mount Sinai. When they came to Mount Sinai in Exodus 19 and 20, and they were given the law, when Moses was up there, the mountain quaked and it shook. And that was impressive. But the Hebrew writer is saying, you have something that's even better than that. He's trying to keep these Christians from going back into that old law. And so here's one argument that he makes here in chapter 12. You have come to Mount Zion. They came to Mount Sinai. You have come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable host of angels, and to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better, that's the whole theme of Hebrews, better than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not when they refused him that warned them on earth, much more shall we escape who turn away from him that heareth, that warneth from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. Back in Exodus 19 and 20 at Mount Sinai. Yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. The old law and other things have been removed, as of things that have been made, that those things which are not shaken may remain. Well, what is that which is not shaken? Wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have a grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. If you back up to verse 18, the old law and the giving of the old law was at a mountain that was shaking. And the writer says that dispensation, that old law, has passed away. So that things that aren't shaken, what is that? Verse 22, 23, 24. The spiritual things that we have in the church, those things are not shaken. Those things will remain. So the passing of the old law and that system, and the remainder of the new covenant and the Lord's church. You know, kingdoms come and go, politics changes and that type of thing, but we're in a spiritual kingdom. We're in the Lord's body, the Lord's church, and it will never go away. And we need to hold on to that. We need to be citizens of that. Who knows what's going to happen to America down the road? It seems like we're going farther and farther down the wrong track. Who knows? But if something bad happened with regard to our physical citizenship, Paul says in Philippians 3, he reminds the brethren, Philippians 3, 19 and 20, our citizenship is in heaven. And that can never be taken away. And so that's what we're going to put our confidence and trust in. Who knows what's going to happen to physical America? But you being members of the Lord's church, that's eternal in nature. We need to hold on to and put our trust in the ever-abiding Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. We put our trust and confidence in God's word. We build our lives. We build our lives on this book right here. Our morals, how we talk, how we think, how we dress, how we act. It's built upon this, and it never changes. Society is changing all the time. Morality is changing all the time, but this never changes. And we build our life on this. And this is what makes the good Christian life. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and 23, we have been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God which liveth and abideth. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of grass. The grass withereth and the flower falleth, but the word of the Lord abideth forever. And this is the word of good tidings which was preached unto you. The French skeptic and unbeliever Voltaire in the late 1700s said that the Bible would find its demise and its end in his lifetime. He was wrong. He was wrong. And there's still God's Word today. And the irony of it is that when Voltaire died, they turned his house into what? A place where they printed Bibles. I don't know if that was out of spite. I don't know how that happened. I just know that that's true. That his home was turned into a printing facility for Bibles. The man who said, the Bible will be gone in my lifetime. It's not going anywhere. And people do all kinds of things. And whether it's Jehoiakim back in the book of Jeremiah who tried to take his knife and cut up the Word of God and throw it into the fire, or somebody else, people try to destroy God's Word all the time. It doesn't go anywhere. It will always be with us. And that's what we put our trust and our hope and our confidence in, the ever-abiding Word of God. You see, you know, things rust and fall apart and break, and we have to get rid of things and we throw out things. There's so many temporary things in life, but God is not going anywhere, and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the church is not going anywhere, and we need to be a member of that. And God's Word is not going anywhere, and we need to read that and build our families and our marriages on that and raise our children on the good book. It is not going anywhere. But turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We need to hold on to something else that is everlasting, and that is the always abiding faith, hope, and love. We need to have these things in our life. It carries us all the way through life and all the way into heaven. The Apostle Paul has been talking about love. Love needs to be in the local congregation, and he's trying to encourage these members to exercise these spiritual gifts with love. Some of them weren't doing that. And to remind them of the nature of love, he describes that, and we read this passage sometimes at weddings and other places, what love is and that kind of thing. But he's trying to make the point down here toward the end of the chapter. Look at verse 9. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. There's some things that are temporary in nature. And that which is in part, what Paul was talking about, is these spiritual gifts. When God's complete revelation is given, then there won't be any more need for these spiritual gifts. So some things will be done away. But in contrast to that, look at verse 13. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. These spiritual gifts one day will be done away. But there's something that outlasts all of that, and that is faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love, because Paul is trying to make the point in this context that verse 1, you have to have love when you're exercising these gifts. But now abideth these, faith, hope, and love. Spiritual gifts are temporary, but not faith, hope, and love. A strong faith. Faith comes by hearing God's Word. The one hope of heaven. Love, sacrificial love. These are things in our life that we carry with us all the way through to the judgment day. For example, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. We have hope as an anchor of the soul. To lay refuge on hope, the hope that is set before us, which we have as an anchor of the soul. Someone can come and steal some things from us, but they can't take away our faith, hope, and love. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. The Apostle Paul talks about persecution that Christians go through from time to time. And in the first century, of course, this would have been very challenging for first century Christians. Some of them were killed for being Christians. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The faith and hope that Paul had in that. If God is for us, verse 31, who is against us? So physical things can be taken away, but God is going to take care of us. victory. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. 1 John 5:4, we sing that in our songbooks. Faith, it's what helps us to get through all of those daily things that we have to get through. Faithfully serving God. And it helps us to overcome the world. And turn with me to Job 19. We know that there is an afterlife. We know that there is something beyond this. And it's our faith in God and our hope in God and our love for God that keeps our eyes focused on this. And I love the book of Job. And Job goes through ups and downs. It's like a roller coaster ride. And he gets in those moments where he's down. But there's these glimmers of light and hope. And like Paul, he's looking for those things that are not seen. Look at Job 19. Here's one of those glimmers. But as for me, I know, and we sing in our songbook based upon this, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and at last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin, even this body is destroyed, then without my flesh shall I see God. Without my flesh. Well, when is that? Well, that's in the next life. I know that my Redeemer lives, you see. And so, his health is taken away, right? Boils head to toe. His family's taken away, right? Children are gone, killed. I would say his wife was taken away in this sense. She was not encouraging to him. Curse God and die. Everything around him is gone. Except what? His faith, hope, and love. I know that my Redeemer lives. So that's the kind of thing that we need to have in our life. And so when those things are gone, and health fails, if it does, and things are taken away from us, and there's physical loss of this or that, it doesn't faze us. We stay true to God because we're holding on to the eternal. Nobody's going to take my Bible away. Nobody's going to take God and Christ away in these things that we're talking about. And so I just stay constant and true each day. And I serve God each day. And I need to learn to hold on to the eternal and let some of this other go. And let some of this other be secondary in nature. I'd like for our young people to consider this especially, and we all go through this, I think, especially when we're young. It's about things. It's about things, and it's about money and the latest things. As we get older, we realize that that's not where it's at. It's about holding on to these eternal things, not the physical, temporal things. Like Paul, we need to look for those things that are eternal. We need to hold on to the ever-renewed inward man. Turn with me to back to the scripture reading that we had earlier. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 again. The Apostle Paul says the outward man is decaying, but the inward man is renewed day by day. The soul of man. And Paul realized that on the outside, I'm being stoned and I'm being beaten and I'm aging and I'm dying and I've got this thorn in the flesh. But one thing that is not growing old at all is the inward man, and it's renewed day by day. And what does it is prayer and Bible study and being with brethren and singing. You see, it builds up the inward man like this gospel meeting this week. Let's read our Bibles on a daily basis. Let's have a good prayer life. Let's associate with our brethren. It builds us up. It stirs us up. It renews the inward man. I don't know about you, but I've been recharged this week inwardly. We get charged, recharged spiritually, and we get built up. And so if we hear that we have cancer, if we hear that we have some health problem, we need to understand that that's just outward. One day all of that's going to be gone anyway. It's the inward man that is renewed day by day. And notice how the Apostle Paul describes it in verse 17. A light affliction, which is for the moment, it works a more exceedingly weight of eternal glory. You think about all that Paul went through, and he calls it a light affliction. You know why he called it light? Because by comparison, his focus on heaven, this is just light compared to the eternal weight of glory that is coming one day. So, the ever-renewed inward man. Sometimes we have health problems and health issues, but inside of us, we are renewed each time we read God's Word and we sing and we pray and we come to worship. And that's why worship services are so important. It builds us up spiritually inside. And sometimes we come and we're not feeling well, but we're still recharged. And we're not feeling well, but inside we get built up and we're edified and we leave stronger. And so we focus and we hold on to that inward soul. The body is going to be gone one day, but the soul lasts. And that's what we're going to focus on. And we're going to be recharged, you see. We're going to be recharged and renewed. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 16. And that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, that you may be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inward man. Strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inward man. The words of the Spirit recharge us. Spiritual songs recharge us. And we have that inward strength and power to carry on. And then last of all, we need to hold on to the never fading reward of heaven. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. I'm glad that Jake sang the song about we'll see Jesus when He comes and going to heaven and that type of thing. We need to hold on to that promise and that reward of an eternal heaven, and it cannot be taken away ever. It is reserved in heaven for you. It is a reservation that will not be given to another. It is a reservation that when you get there, you'll not hear, I don't know where the reservation went. We lost it. It will always be there. And we need to hold on to that. This earth is going to be gone. This earth is not our eternal reward. It's in heaven. And so we find in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 4, we have a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead unto an inheritance incorruptible. It's not like the corruptible things like that first car that we had that we don't have anymore. It's just a pile of rust somewhere. It's incorruptible, undefiled. There's no impurity there. There's no immorality there. That fadeth not away. I was not aware of this until recently, and I enjoy word studies, especially Bible word studies. But this word is used one time here in 1 Peter 1 and 4, and it's the Greek word amaranth. There's a series of flowers, I am told, that are in the amaranth family that when you cut them, they don't fade. Some of them are gold in nature, and when you cut the stems, it's just as bright as gold as it was when it was on the stem. That's the word that Peter used here, that fadeth not away. The amaranth flower. Look that up sometime. The amaranth. Reserved in heaven for you. It's not going anywhere. And I like to couple 1 Peter 1:4 with 2 Peter 1:4. 1 Peter 1:4 with 2 Peter 1:4, whereby He hath granted us His precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature. And so, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. And so heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And if you're prepared this evening, then you're ready to go there. There's not going to be anything in heaven that's going to go away. There's not going to be any natural disaster that wipes it away. We have things in this life. We have things in this life that are corruptible. We have things in this life that are defiled. We have things in this life that fade. We sing in our songbook where the roses never fade. This is that fadeth not away. It's just as bright and glorious now as it will be when we get there. And Jesus has prepared that. It's ready to go. But are we ready to go there. What are you holding on to? Are we holding on to material things? And I know that when we're younger, we have a tendency to do that. And even our young Christians here this evening need to understand that that's not what it's about. You don't hold on to those things. Those things are just temporary in nature. This life, things of this life, just temporal. And Paul says, we don't look at those things. We look at those things that are eternal in nature. Do you have these things in your life, these six indestructible, eternal things? Is God in Christ daily in your life? I believe He is with the good brethren here. The Lord's church is first. The kingdom is first in your life. God's Word, faith, hope, and love. Your inward soul, that's why you've been here each night of the meeting. You're trying to recharge your inward soul, aren't you? And I hope that I've done a part that has helped in that. And you keep your eyes focused on heaven. Paul said, we don't look for the things that are temporal. We look for those things that are eternal. So I would encourage you this evening to keep holding on to that. Those things that can never be taken away from us. It is what makes us faithful in this life. It's what makes us ready to meet the Lord when He comes again. There may be someone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel, coming and repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is the Christ, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. And you can begin to take hold on those things that are everlasting. Or an erring child of God who needs to come back in some way. Maybe you've just been focusing on the things of this life. Worship services are not that important. And living a good, godly Christian life is not that important. And it's just about my work and my job and my things and my hobbies and money. And I need to get back to focusing on those things that are eternal. And I can come and claim Christ again and come back and be faithful to Him. But for those of you here at Twin Oaks, I appreciate the good brethren here. You're trying to live the righteous life. You're trying to live faithfully. I can tell you're holding on to what is important. And you can tell in a person's life what's important to them, where their priorities are. And I see a spiritual priority here at Twin Oaks, and I'm certainly encouraged by that. And I hope our lesson this evening has encouraged us just to keep doing that very thing that you're doing. I've heard comments this week about faithful gospel preachers that have been lost and faithful elders that have been lost and other spiritual kinds of comments this week that have been very encouraging to me. So just keep holding on to those things that are eternal. And then when Jesus comes again, Paul said that we look forward to that day. We know that we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of those things that are done in the body, whether good or whether they be evil. And you know that day is coming. And you're holding on to those things that are going to help you get to that day. And you'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So I wanted to encourage us along those lines. Let's just keep on keeping on. And one day we can stand together in that great crowd and be ready for the Lord to come again. If you're not ready and you need to make that preparation, why won't you come as we stand and sing?
Zion's call sweetly rings over land.